So let's get ready for morning worship together. We ready? All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we will go into some singing and take care of a few things for the taking work for the church. So let's start. First of all, let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. How grateful we are for this assembly, Father, that we can come together, worship, study together, praise together. And Father, we pray that all that we do is glorifying to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals, and what are we going to sing?
Oh, in the hymn book, Because He Lives is 448.
Because He Lives, hymn number 448. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 19. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, also which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. And He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as it were, to one untimely born, He appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove in vain. But I labored even more than all of them yet. All of them yet, not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now, if Christ has preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we're even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witnessed against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied.
What was that? 1 Corinthians what?
15, 1 through 19. 1 Corinthians 15.
All right, in keeping with our study this morning, would you turn with hymn number 155, hymn 155. This is my Father's work.
This is my Father's world, as though I listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the fall. Skies and seas, this and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He seems to be everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems not so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who dies shall be satisfied, earth and heaven won.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's, I know that a lot of churches today have upbeat music and bands and noise that take off, but I still believe in wonderful hymns, wonderful singing, and as long as I'm here, that's what we're going to do. And but it just is so beautiful to have. Now, what I do regret is we don't have just a pianist, so I can stop and say, "Would y'all sing?" Something like that. But I didn't get to do that, so that's where it is. All right. Now, in regard to some some information, Jeff Harrison's mother went home to be with the Lord Saturday. And the family, well, he requests we just be in prayer for the entire family. And his mother's a believer. Nearly all the family members are believers. And but they hurt. We hurt for the loss of our mother. So let's be in prayer for Jeff Harrison and for the family at this time. Do we have any other prayer requests that anybody know? Yes.
Please pray for my Christian mother. Her name is Janice Moore. She kind of socially adopted me when I first got here and led me to the Lord.
Okay.
She had COVID since Thursday, and she wasn't able to go to church, so that hurts her more. So please pray for her.
All right. Let's do it. We'll be in prayer. Name again?
Janet.
All right. Let's be in prayer. All right. Any other prayer? Yes, sir.
Praise report. Marcus and Cecilia have come through COVID and tested negative, and they're doing okay.
They're doing okay. Very good. That's good. Good. Any other? All right. Anybody likes to get cold water? We've got a new water fountain. And I saw it and was taking water out of it. And I went, wow, this is really cool. And so I said, well, who gave us that? And I found out that Brian and Judy gave us the water fountain. And I appreciate that very much. And I said to her, I said, why'd you do that? My goodness. She said, because I finally wanted some cold water. So there was a way to get something done that way. All right. The getting things done, we're in Satan's world, and it costs. Salvation's free. Teaching and studying the Word of God is free, but it costs to get things done and accomplished. So we have the privilege all the way through history, Old Testament, New Testament, whether in the age of Israel, the church age, or the tribulation, or in the millennium, we have the opportunity and the privilege to support in giving the teaching of the Word of God. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we're small assembled, but Heavenly Father, we're here to spread the gospel, to spread the teaching of the Word of God, teach one to teach in regard to the Word of God, to fellowship together in this assembly. And therefore, Father, we pray that you will continue to support this assembly for the teaching of the Word of God, to fulfill the responsibilities that we have. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 260 in the book is Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever. faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Okay, does everyone have a copy of Four Powers? Anyone not have Four Powers? Go copy this, whether or not you have it or not. Okay. Phil was talking about, he went over the clock this morning, and as I thought about that, I thought last night, thousands of people sat and talked and listened to Trump over an hour and a half. And they didn't get up and leave. They didn't complain. They didn't all get up and have to go to the bathroom. They didn't have to do this. They didn't have to do that. They sat and listened and cheered. And I thought, that is really super.
So nobody moved.
And nobody, yeah. It just, I don't know why we can't. Just days gone by, it'd be all day Sunday, because you travel a long way in a car or in a buggy or something, and that was it. But now we can't even do that. So it's up to you whether or not you need to hear the listening and teaching to the Word of God. All right, Four Powers. How does this come to our study? Let's look in passage at it. Let's begin with the Word of God and prayer for our study. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God that reveals to us your power. And Father, we are so thankful for your powers. We thank you, Father, that we can learn and study these things by the power of the Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's begin by reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with working of the strength of his might. Now, there's the four words. The starting off with the boundless greatness of his power, that's one. And then we go to the working, that's the second word. The strength, that's the third. Of his might, that's the fourth word. Now that takes us into the fourth verse, 20th verse, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So we talk about the resurrection and then the death, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now the plan of God depends on His inherent power. In case you don't know right off plan, inherent power, that talks about the persistence and the presence of His power on His and His nature. Now, your life depends on the inherent power of God. Your life depends on the inherent power of God. The more that you grow and put your faith in God, He can and will do more powerful blessings than you can ever imagine. That's the characteristic of God. Now, verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of His power? And now the next two words are important to every one of you. Towards us. See, you just passed right with it. Let's take a look at it. And what is the boundless greatness of His power toward us? This prepositional phrase applies to every one of you who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Toward us means that God has purpose for every one of you in your life. Your very purpose for your existence and being here. Now, continuing. What is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? Means that God has a purpose for every life. God desires to share His richness with you, to share His happiness with you. He desires to give you all the grace you can handle. But here's the secret. This means that God does the giving. And all that you and I have to do is to receive. The problem is that most believers are very poor receivers. You have to live by faith to be a receiver. You have to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God to be a receiver. You have to have capacity in your soul to receive from God. Toward us who believe. Only this is a present active participle translated who believes. It should be translated the believing ones. Toward us, the believing ones. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in the plan of God. He has a plan for you, and His plan includes happiness. His plan, based on your faith, on the Word of God, taking the Word of God, and to grow in the Word of God. And the reason that a lot of people don't have it, they refuse to grow. They refuse to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Grow in the Word of God. And therefore, you refuse to grow. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ. How about that? Some people would not like that. Leave the elementary teachings about the Christ. Let us press on to maturity. That's what you want to do. Now, what is the surpassing greatness of the power toward us, the believing ones? That's what we're going to find out. Now, we're going to have four different Greek words for power. Now, I want to make this very clear what's going on. There are four different words for power. This word is, and the first one referring to the power of God. And that's in our verse. It says, and what is the boundless greatness of His power? That's the first one. to us who believes. These are in accordance with, and listen, the third, second one, working. That'll be the word of power. Of his strength, that's the third one. Of his might, that's the fourth one. So first is power. That's the Greek word dunamis. Now we have the second word, energeus, that is translated working. Working. Next we have another word for power, kratos, strength. And then the last one is ischus, that's might. Now, we have in this one verse these four words, power, working, strength, and might, all in one verse. And I pray that by the time we have completed all four of these words, you're motivated by the power of God. The first of these words, dunamis, is used to and refer to our achieving power, ability power. It is used here to refer to God having the power to express and accomplish his plan. That's the first word. The second word, so it starts off with God having the power to develop the plan and to fulfill it. The second word is energeus. This is the word that is so powerful. And this one word, energia, this one verse is translated in a many different ways. So understand, this one word translated in our study, but it is has four several different translations in the Bible. Let me give you some idea. In the King James Version, working, energia, is in Ephesians chapter 1 and in Philippians and Colossians 1:29. But the same Greek word in Ephesians 3:7 and 4:16, the same Greek word is translated effectual working. So in the King James we have working, effectual working. And in Colossians 2:12, the same Greek word is translated operation. And in 2 Corinthians, it is translated strong. Now for my friend, the Living Bible, it's called help. So it has all of those definitions in one word. In the Revised Standard Version, the same Greek word is translated with five different words. Working in Ephesians 1, power, Philippians chapter 3, energy, Colossians 1:29. It's all the same Greek word. Activity, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, strong, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, and as I have for my friend in the Living Bible, it's translated strong, is to help. Now, this Greek word, energeus, is translated in a total of seven or eight, if we include Living Bible, eight different English words. Effectual, working. Secondly, operation. Next, strong. Next, working. Next, power, energy, and then the last one, activity, and of course the last of that is help. All of those words to translate one Bible word, energia, the effective work, operation, work, strong, all describing God's work. This, the second word, our power, for power is translated according with the working. This is the second word for work, for power. Again, we are going to have four different words in this one verse. Second Greek word is translated with seven to eight different words in English. It means operational power, effectual power. Not only did God conceive of his plan, but God has the ability to fulfill it, to put the plan into operation. In the New Testament, this Greek word is used to refer only to supernatural power. You got that? This is used only of supernatural power. It is used only of God and of Satan. Only of God and of Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, it is used of Satan. So here we learn there are two power systems, Satan and God, right here in the universe. Both of them right there. Next we come to the third word for the word power of God, for as the word strength, or in the King James Version, of the might. This time we have the Greek word kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S, referring to the strength, power, might, dominion, or authority. According to the Complete Biblical Library Lexicon, in the New Testament, kratos always refers to authority above that of humans. In every place you'll find it in the Bible, it is talking about authority higher and above human beings. In Ephesians 2:14, it is used of the devil, referring to the power of death. Otherwise, the word is used just for God, as in Acts 19:20, referring to the power of the Word of God. Now, let us spend some time. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and following, where we have several of the words that we have just looked at. Here they are again. Let's read it, starting at Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. The reason I started here, I want you to learn to start praying for one another in regard to the power of God. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That was the request of His prayers. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now verse 11 is our multi-verse. Strengthened, kratos, with all power, according to the glorious might. Might just, and then we'll complete verse 11, 10 in a minute. But look at the phrase, strengthened with all power. This is two different words, duna, meo, followed by dunamis, strengthened with all might. Then kratos for the attaining the steadfastness of his patience and deity. Then we go to verse 12. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, we have several words for reference to power we're looking at. It is so important to understand the power of God, His power, His might, His working power, His strength. This should be in your prayer life, in praying to God for the use of His power in your life. I'm not talking about simple little things. I'm talking about in your Christian life, spiritual life. And God always uses His power according, here's the kick, according to His plan. So if things are not going the way you think they should be going, you just remember, this is according to God's plan. What's happening in America bothers me. I love the history of America, but now God is changing it. God is changing and working throughout the world. Things are going on around the world. You just have peace in your soul. God's power is in work. Now, verse 19 of Ephesians 1, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. This is the fourth word, strength of might, that word might, the fourth word for power in this one verse. It is the word ischus. Here it means strength or power, or to have endowment of some form of power or strength. Each of the words is a little different in what they're convey about God. Here, in the use of the two verbs, kritos and ischus, or that's the strength here, used together, strength of his might, I am going to tell you what I think is being said here. Now, different communicators of word have different things. This is what I believe is going on with this word. The strength or power of the Word of God. I think it's about His power of the Word of God. Ephesians 1:19, these are in accordance with the working of the power of the Word of God. Instead of the power of His, the strength of His might, it's the power of the Word of God. Now, in working together, they refer to the working of the Word of God in the souls of believers, growing in the Word of God. The Word of God is the endowment. Now, let's grasp four words for power in this one verse. Dunamis refers to inherent power of God. God has perfect power. God has the inherent power to fulfill His plan. Second word, energia, refers to operational power of God. God has the ability, the power, to put His plan into operation. God has the power to think up His plan, and He has the power to bring it into operation. This also brings the Holy Spirit into the power plan, because God the Holy Spirit is the operational power that puts the Father's plan into operation. Now, kratos, or the ruling power under the plan. Four, ischus refers to the power of the Word of God. Now, in Ephesians 1:20, we come to the plan of the Son of God. In the plan of God, we come to the place of the Son of God in the plan of God. God has a plan, and the power and the Holy Spirit, the power of His Word. Now we have His power in His person, His Son, the plan of God. Ephesians 1:20, which God the Father brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now, see that word which He brought? This is a relative pronoun which points to the antecedent, to the operational power of dunamis. We know that is the antecedent to the word which translated operational power, because it is a feminine accusative singular, and in matches with the feminine singular, feminine accusative of the relative pronoun. So that's what he's talking about. Which we just talked about, operational power of the Holy Spirit, which he bought. Now, this is a perfect active indicative of the verb energeo. This is another word. The perfect tense tells us this has been operational for all eternity. The active voice tells us this has been in operation, and the indicative mood tells us this has been in operation for all existence. In Christ should be translated in the Christ. When he raised him, there is no word in the original text for when. This is translation of the active aorist participle translated having raised him. And he, and this precedes the action of the seed in him at his right hand. So, before God the Father seated his Son, he raised him from the dead. People, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, you and I would have no hope whatsoever. So that little phrase, having raised him, is so important to us. Out from the dead. Ek, out from, plus the Greek word nekros, the word dead. The verb, this verb from Ephesians 1:20 is powerful and wonderful, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, another passage always want to bear, you always want to bear in mind in this study, and this is what Phil read of her to begin this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, which we'll look at in a little bit. Now, in Ephesians 1:20, we have his resurrection before the statement, his death. So let us take a necessary time to look at his resurrection. This is from the several teachings of R.B. Thiem, Leon Morris, especially the cross of the New Testament, and K. Schirzner is Christ Crucified, it's a two-volume book, and studying from many different books that I put together, but I very strongly recommend Leon Morris and K. Schneider. I've been dealing with the resurrection for over 45 years, close to 46 years in the ministry. Getting it ready for you this Sunday, totally new. New places, new things. Of course, a lot of them would be repeated, but a lot of new stuff. And this came from, namely, from Leon Morris. Now let's take a look. The first one, the resurrection. The first point on the resurrection. The fact of resurrection is declared by the Word of God. And that ought to end it. If you're like me, that's it. The Bible says it, that's it. Don't need any more. But we'll look at some other things in the Holy Scriptures. The resurrection is God the Father's plan. Salvation is from God alone. Salvation is from God alone. Secondly, the Word of God is of the primary importance to Jesus Christ. The Word of God is important and vitally important to the person of Jesus Christ. At the beginning, as a small child, he said to his mother, that he must be here ready for his father's business. Do you know the story? He was young, and they were looking for him. They couldn't find him. And he said, "What are you looking at me for?" "I'm at my father's business." Luke chapter 2, verse 49. God the Father was pleased, listen to this, God the Father was pleased to crush him on the cross. Isaiah 53:10. It is also very important in regard to the birth, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that mankind is not to live alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Luke chapter 4:3, along with Deuteronomy 8:83. The resurrection reveals the peace of God, the God of peace, in Ephesians and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now, I could have spent a lot more time on the importance of Jesus or God the Father with the resurrection, but I think you got the idea what's going on in point one. Now, point two. The fact of the resurrection is based upon the existence of the empty tomb declared by Roman soldiers and Christian witnesses, and on the faithfulness of witnesses who knew Jesus Christ and knew him well enough not to be deceived by that it wasn't him. They were so set on truth of his resurrection, they would die rather than change their testimony about his resurrection. This is historical occurrence and a competency of the witnesses. The subsequent change in the disciples, the change in their person after the resurrection, also indicates the validity of the resurrection. Before his birth, before his death, they were afraid and despondent. After his death, in other words, at his resurrection, it was another entirely different thing. Now, but after his resurrection, they were joyous, inner happiness, and fearless. The existence of the day of Pentecost and the first sermon ever preached in the church age by Peter in Acts chapter 2 dealt with the resurrection. The first sermon of the church age is about the resurrection. The observation of the first day of the week called the day of the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10, the resurrection day, the very existence of the Christian church logically depends upon the resurrection. Now, so from point one above, the scriptures declare that the resurrection is part of 1 Corinthians 15:4, and point two, it was witnessed by multitudes, including 500 believers in one time. 1 Corinthians 15:6, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the fact. It was a fact that he rose from the dead. This brings us to point three. The truth of his message of his physical body after his resurrection, Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, is the proof of the resurrection. Why? First of all, the still has the scars. He still has the scars from the nail points in his hands and feet. Psalm 22:16, Zechariah 12:10, John 10, 56 and following. He also remained scars of the wound in his side. John 10:25-29. Jesus was recognized by the disciples as the one who died and rose again. This was attained in 17 different appearances. Jesus, after the resurrection, however, could eat, Acts found in Luke 24, although he did not depend on food to sustain himself. Jesus Christ had a true body which could be felt. Matthew 28:9, Luke 24:19, John 20:17, they could touch his body. His resurrection body could breathe. John 10:22, his resurrected body possessed flesh and blood, but it could also move through a closed door. Luke 24, John 20:19. Jesus appeared to his disciples many times during the short time he was on the earth after the resurrection. But he also disappeared immediately. He's gone. Luke 24:17. I think we'd all like that to happen sometime. Alright. His body could also move horizontally or vertically. So this gives you some idea of his resurrected body. And by the way, we have a body like his in our resurrection, 1 John 2:2. When we're resurrected, we'll have a body just like his. I hope you follow these things. Now we got the fourth study. The resurrection is part of the gospel. The resurrection is part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians, in other words, God made this part of the gospel. You talk about this, things are not part of the gospel. This is part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now, I make known to you, this is Paul speaking, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. I'll explain how you could believe in vain in a moment. Verse 3, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, point 5. The resurrection is essential to the gospel. It's part of the gospel. It is essential to the gospel and related to faith in Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now, if Christ is preached, and He is, that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ was raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain, as he talked about in verse 1. Verse 15, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testify against God, and that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. In fact, this passage indicates how useless it would be if Jesus Christ, unless he had risen. And this is, of course, because of the exercise of deductive type of reasoning. For if resurrection was omitted from the gospel, it's not part of the gospel, and if its significance, faith would be in vain. But since Christ actually rose from the dead, Christ is not in vain. All right. Now, point to six. The resurrection emphasizes the difference between a theophany and a Christophany. The difference between the two, the resurrection explains the difference. A theophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ prior to the incarnation. That is, prior to the first advent. First appeared as an angel, who also appeared as a man visiting with Abraham, then also with destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He also appeared as a wrestler. You like wrestling? He was known as a wrestler with the champion wrestler. That's Jacob. They had one. It stood near all after all night. Stood on their wrestling, and of course Christ won and permanently put Jacob in lame. The Christophany, though, okay, that was theophany. Christophany, on the other hand, is entirely different. A Christophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ after resurrection. Not before his becoming God, but before the resurrection from the dead. Luke 24:13-43, Acts 2:42. Now, point number four. There are two returns from the dead. There are two deaths from the dead. I'll tell you what, I'm going to close here, and this is where we're going to begin next Sunday morning, right here, because we've got other problems on the second any day. So let's begin with the Word. Let's begin the Word close. Father, we thank you for teaching us the resurrection. We thank you, Heavenly Father, part of our salvation. We thank you for it. We pray, Father, you will edify your word and teaching us these things in Christ's word. Amen.